Good evening. Well, that's five of you. The rest, I hope that you'll be able to come back to life. I know it's probably been a rough day. Just ask Berean Baptist pastoral staff. They had a rough day today because they had to eat lunch with my brother and me. And, you know, that's quite the ordeal. I intend to leave scars by the time I leave, so. Thank you for making the effort to be here tonight. I really mean that. I appreciate it. I truly understand how tough it is to go through a day with all the different responsibilities, burdens, cares, all that come with it, and then take extra time out of your evening to be here. So I give you permission to, after the service, you can go out, you can, you know, get a burger, ice cream, but most importantly, some of the liquid manna of heaven, which we all know is Mountain Dew. Do you see what I'm trying to do here, folks? I mean, I know this is Coke country, but that doesn't make it right, okay? So I understand that that's offensive, but too bad, all right? So take your Bibles, turn to Exodus chapter 3, would you please? This really was not the message that I was intending to preach tonight. But as I was preparing this afternoon and just praying over things, looking over things, this is the message that God has seemed to place on my heart. And, you know, I have learned not to fight God on those things. I don't necessarily always understand why. Don't always recognize his timing and what he has in store. But you know what? It's all about God. It's not about me. Okay? I'm just the messenger. This is his word that we're focusing on. And therefore, we know that God's word is going to be profitable. It's going to do us good. It'll be a blessing. And I don't know what might be your need tonight. I don't know how God is going to exactly use this in your life in specific ways. But I do trust that you will be helped, that you will be encouraged, that you will be motivated in regards to doing the work of the Lord. So let's look at Exodus chapter 3, and we're going to start at verse 11. It says, "And Moses said unto God, Who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Now, we kind of know the story about Moses, don't we? Know how, you know, he should have been one of the Israelite, you know, baby boys that should have been murdered. And his parents, they hit him, you know, and then finally he was getting too big. And so his mother makes the little basket and floats him down the river. And his sister Miriam is watching over it. And Pharaoh's daughter comes down to the Nile. And so she finds this basket. And we know all that story up to this. Now, you come down about 40 years later. And now Moses had, you know, he'd grown up in Pharaoh's household. He'd received, I mean, I sometimes think we kind of look at or think of Moses as some kind of, you know, just poor old podunk boy. Let me tell you something. Moses was a smart, well-educated, well-rounded guy. I mean, this guy had the best, all right, growing up in Pharaoh's household. I mean, this guy, he lived the cat's meow life, if you will. And so we know what happened, how one day he goes out. He sees one of his Israel brothers being beaten. He murders the from there, and he you know, runs to the wilderness, flees into the wilderness, and he's there. And then we come to this point where God speaks to him from the burning bush that is not being consumed. And he tells him, "You are going to lead my people out of Egypt." Now, how would you like to be told that? How would you like to be going about your day, minding your own business, and all of a sudden, woof, you know, your bush in your yard just starts, you know, to blaze, and yet it's not burning. And then, you know, who knows? I mean, we can only imagine what the voice of God is like. We know it's authoritative. We know it's powerful. I mean, but can you just imagine God speaking? and, you know, to you. And he says, hey, guess what? You're going to take the United States. I know I'm being dramatic, but, and you're going to lead them to another country. Excuse me? What? You know, can you imagine the shock that must have come upon Moses? Sometimes we kind of read the Bible very dryly. You know what I'm saying? We read it without emotion. We read it without connection. We don't think what this must have meant to Moses. Remember, he'd been tending sheep here in the wilderness. He married, minding his own business, trying to stay out of trouble. And then God out of nowhere says, hey, you're going to lead my people out of Egypt. Now, here's the thing that we see as far as the immediate response of Moses that is so common. Now, I think that we can understand it, right? But it doesn't necessarily justify what he does, because what does Moses begin to do immediately? He begins to make excuses, right? Can I ask you a question? Have you ever made an excuse about something? I remember making excuses. I know you can find that hard to believe, but so one day, this is when Todd was gone. He was out of the house, thankfully. And Brent and I were, I mean, he was a teenager. I probably was around 12 or 13. I don't know. And one day we were at home. We weren't in meetings. And we decided to have a belt buckle fight. Now, how do you do a belt buckle fight? Well, we weren't swinging the belt at each other, but what we decided was that we should duel with the metal prongs of the belt buckle. You know what I'm saying? And so the whole purpose of the dueling was to try to, you know, get each other, scratch each other, possibly draw blood if possible, because that's even better, without getting too messed up yourself. And so, I mean, we're getting after it. You know, miniature swords, that big. And so we're going all over. And then Dad, out of nowhere, comes and says, boys, come on, we got to go. Jump in the truck. We got something to do. So we go. And we keep on doing it. I mean, we're going through the house and we're fighting. Oh, you know. And so Dad finally says, guys, cut that out. You know. And so we get into the truck. And we sat. And for whatever reason, I ended up sitting in the back of the seat of the truck right by Brent. Now, that normally didn't happen, but for some, I don't know if our sister Jennifer was already in the seat or something like that on the far window. So I ended up in the middle. And Brent, surprisingly, he actually obeyed Dad. Wow. And he stopped. And he started kind of looking out the window. And I saw my chance. He always got the better of me. You know, Brent always got the best. Let me tell you, don't feel bad for Brent. I have way more scars from Brent than he does from me. But on this day, I was the winner, let me tell you. Because he was sitting there, not paying attention, and his right arm was just sitting there nice and relaxed, nice and exposed. So you know what I did? I took my belt prong, and I went right down his arm. And I mean, to this day, he's got about a 3-inch scar from where I took that prong to him. And, you know, he goes, "Why?" And he's hooping and hollering and screaming and just about crying. And that's, "What's going on?" And I'm like, "Oh, Dad, I didn't really know what you meant by, you know, I wanted to stop." And all, you know, I'm trying to make all these excuses so that I don't get be within an inch of my life. You know, come on. We've all made excuses, right? Moses begins to make excuses. But here's the thing. It wasn't just any kind of excuses. It was excuses in regards to serving the Lord and doing the work of God. And I think that a lot of Christians are in the same realm. A lot of Christians are provided opportunity to serve God. And when the opportunity or when the opportunities arise, whether that's at church or whether that's somewhere else, we are prone to make excuses in regards to serving the Lord. And so here is my proposition to you tonight. That there is no excuse for not serving the Lord. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to consider quickly what the excuses were that Moses made. And then we are secondly going to consider God's answers to those excuses. So the first excuse we have already read in verse 11. And the excuse was this: God, I'm too insignificant. That's what Moses was saying. Who am I? God, you do realize that I'm one of the Israelite babies that was supposed to have been murdered. And God, you realize that I am the guy who murdered an Egyptian taskmaster. And Lord, do you realize what I've been doing out here these last 40 years? I've been tending sheep. I'm a sheep herder. That's one of the most lowly, despised jobs that anyone can hold in my day. God, do you realize who you're talking to? I'm a nobody. I'm not important. I'm not famous. I'm not well recognized. I'm a fugitive. I have a past. I have a record. I am insignificant. That was his first excuse. What was the second excuse? Well, look over at chapter 4, verse 1. And Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee." He was supposed to go to the elders of Israel and go before them and say, "Hey, listen, I'm Moses, and God has commanded me to lead y'all out of here, out of Egypt." Okay? And here's what they're going to say. Say what? Who are you? Oh, Moses, man. Moses. Oh, yeah. Moses the murderer. I remember you. Hey, Moses the murderer. How's it been? You've been knocking off any people lately, you know? And how many people you done in the last few years, you know, last 40 years, you know? And what was that you said? God spoke out of you out of this burning bush that wasn't being burned up in the wilderness. And he told you from there that you're supposed to lead us out of Egypt? Hey, you know, Moses, you know, tell me again what you've been doing. Oh, tending sheep. Yeah. Oh, man, you've really gone up the pay grade, haven't you? Hey, you know, Moses, I think here's the deal. I think you've been out in the wilderness sun for just a little too long. You're crazy. Who do you think you are? God's not talked to you. God hasn't told you that you're to lead our people out of Egypt. Get out of here. You're crazy. That's what you know what Moses was struggling with here? The Bible calls it the fear of man. We might categorize it as peer pressure. And so because of the fear of man and how they would respond and how they would react, Moses said, "God, no, this is not for me." Notice a third excuse that he gives. Look over at chapter 4, verse 10. He says, "And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou was spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue." So here's his third excuse. "God, I don't have all the right abilities needed to accomplish this task. God, don't you know I have this speech impediment?" Now, we don't know exactly what that was. Was it an actual physical infirmity, like a cleft palate or something like that, that affected his speech? Was it perhaps a stammering problem that he had? We can't dogmatically say. All we know is that somehow, some way, Moses had a hard time communicating, right? And we all know that to be an effective leader, in part, among other things, but one of the things that kind of needs to be in place is that you need to have the ability to communicate. And so he's saying, "God, I can't speak well. So, Lord, if you really wanted me to be able to do this job, you really should have made me to be able to speak right." It's almost like he's blaming God. Say, well, "God, you know, if you hadn't messed up with you know, how I am, then I could serve you. If I was better, if I had different abilities, If I had different talents, if I had a different skill set, if I had this spiritual gift, well, then maybe I could serve you. But because I don't, well, then no. So that was his third excuse. I don't have all the right abilities. And then look at verse 13 of chapter 4. And he said, "Oh, my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send." So here's the fourth excuse that he gives. God, someone else could do a better job than I. Someone else could do a better job. Listen, there's a whole lot more talented people. Right? More skilled, more gifted, whatever. Why are you picking on me, God? I didn't ask for this. I've not been seeking to lead the nation of Israel out of Egypt. I've come out into the wilderness. I've made a living for myself. I'm minding my own business. I'm not getting in anybody's way. God, why are you doing this to me? Let someone else do it. Let someone younger do it. Let someone more talented do it. Let someone who is better at communication do it, and on and on. God, please choose somebody else and not me. Can I ask you a question tonight? You don't have to answer out loud, but can you at least take a moment or two to think about in your heart if you've ever made any of these excuses as to why you cannot or why you will not serve God? The thing is that these are four of the most common excuses I believe that we find for not serving the Lord. Are they the only ones? No. But they are four of some of the most common excuses that are made in regards to not serving the Lord. And maybe you have found yourself making these same excuses or excuses that are very similar, and you feel justified by using those excuses so that you won't engage your life. I mean, you're not doing necessarily anything really bad. I mean, whatever that might mean. But don't ask me to get involved. Don't set this before me as an opportunity to serve. Let others do it. But you know what? I have this, and we hold on to our excuses kind of as a security blanket, you know, kind of like Linus, you know, in Peanuts. He always had that little blanket that he held on to. That was a little security thing. I always loved it when Snoopy came and whipped it away from him, you know. And you know what? God's about to take that security blanket from Moses and go whoop. So let's look at that, because remember what the proposition is. There's no excuse for not serving the Lord. So how does God answer these excuses? Well, let's go back and let's check it out in verse 12 of chapter 3. And he said, God said, "Certainly I will be with thee." Stop right there. Here is his first response to the first excuse. "I have chosen you, Moses, therefore I will be with you." I've chosen you, so I'm going to be with you. What an amazing statement. If God be for us, who can be against us, the Bible says. Right? The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. And so God is giving him this great promise. Moses, I am God. I am that I am. Is commissioning you, and I'm going to be with you every step of the way as you do what I'm supposed to do. You know what, folks? I think that we are very forgetful that as Christians, God never leaves us nor forsakes us. Amen. And when it comes to serving God, He's going to be with us all the way. Do you want to know why? Because you remember the verse that I shared with you last night, Ephesians 2:10. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, that we should walk in them. You see, as a Christian, God has a purpose, He has a plan, and He has a direction for every believer's life. So listen, if you are 8 years old and you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, God has a plan for your life. And He wants to use your life. And He wants you to be serving Him in different ways. You realize you can serve the Lord by cleaning your room with a good attitude to the glory of God? Or you can take out the trash. Hey, teenagers, you realize that even how you do your homework, can be an act of service to the Lord. How you help with other things around the house, how you engage here in the church. And on we can go. The reality is, we need to realize that God has purpose and plan for us. And a major part of that purpose and plan is that we would be busy serving Him in different ways with different opportunities. And if He has created us unto good works, He is forming and He is continuing to form and fashion us and develop us for these ministries and for these different works, then He's going to be right there with us all along the way. To strengthen us, to guide us, to provide wisdom and knowledge and help and so forth, as we'll continue to see. But here's what He says. Listen, I have chosen you. I will be with you. Now, after that first excuse that Moses made, and after God answered him with this response, Moses should have shut up and just, okay. All right. Let's go. Right? Is that what he did? No, we see that he continued to make the excuses. So let's look at the second answer then that God gave. Look over at chapter 4 and verse 5. Here's what the Lord said. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath appeared unto thee. And here's God's second answer. I will make the people believe. You know, a lot of times Christians are afraid to get engaged in serving the Lord because they don't want to be unnecessarily questioned or criticized by other people, particularly by other believers. My dad tells a story, and maybe you shared this story with the folks, I don't know, but when Dad went to college, our dad had a very bad stammering problem. And so he was in speech class. And one day after his speech class, the teacher, Miss Parks, asked him to come see her after class. And so he stayed behind and then he went to see her. And she said, Brother Jerry, did you say that you believe the Lord has called you to full-time evangelism? And he said, yes, ma'am. And she said, don't you think that you should consider doing something else? Because his speech was so horrible. She would later on tell Dr. Bob III and Dr. Bob Wood and a few others that were having a meal. I think Dad was preaching at the college there years ago, and they were having a meal, and Miss Parks was there, and she told all these men, she said, Jerry Savinsky had the worst speech impediment of any student I ever had. But can you imagine being asked, you know, don't you think you should do something else? And Dad said, oh, no, I know that God's called me to do this. Doesn't mean that was easy. And sometimes I think we live in that kind of a fear that, well, what if they don't think that I should be doing this? What if they don't like how I do it? And you know, what if they think that I don't have any business? What if they come up and tell me that I don't have any business trying to get involved in this or that? Who cares? Let God be the one. Listen, if you're trying to serve the Lord, if what you are trying to do for the Lord lines up scripturally in truth, in principle, and command with the Word of God, don't let the fear of man entrap you. Don't let the fear of others ensnare you and keep you from engaging. Amen. Do the work of the Lord that He has presented you as an opportunity. So that's what the second answer was. I will make the people believe. Now look at the third answer over in chapter 4. He says in verse 11, "And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord?" So here's his answer to the excuse, "I don't have all the right abilities." He says, "Moses, I made you, and I can use you just as you are." You know what? We don't need to be comparing ourselves. We know this biblically, as you would study scripture, every single believer has a spiritual gift, at least one spiritual gift, and sometimes more. People have different abilities and talents as well. There are differences, but you know what? God uses all of that in different ways and in different manners and in different times to promote his work. Right? And so rather than comparing what I can do versus what she can do or what he can do, I need to focus on what God has set before me as an opportunity and seek to do it to his glory. Might there be others that have better talent and better ability? Sure. Absolutely. But that is not the reason for whether you do or do not serve the Lord. This is not a contest. And we kind of need to get that out of our minds and out of our hearts that serving is about me being able to do something better than no. Serving the Lord is about serving the Lord. Serving the Lord is about promoting his glory and his honor and his kingdom. Serving the Lord is about doing that which is going to be able to be used of God to impact other people for eternity. So when God gives us an opportunity to serve, we need to serve realizing that he can use us even with our infirmities, even with our deficiencies and our problems that we might have. There was a guy in our karate team when I was in college, and his name was Chris Hartwick. When Chris Hartwick was born, he was born with a muscular degenerative disease. And so, Chris, his arms, they were crossed like this. Okay. He had no muscle. All right. They're just real. It was just basically skin and bones. Okay. His feet were knurled and he had, the guy has had tons and tons of surgeries over the years. And yet, somehow, our instructor, he came across Chris and he said, "Hey, you know what? You need to be on the karate." He was like, "Do you see me?" He said, "That's all right. We'll adapt." So Chris came on the team. And Chris started training and they adapted his training. And then he actually became my student and actually earned his first degree black belt as my student. And we would go out and we'd do karate demonstrations and we'd share the gospel and we'd give personal testimonies of what God was doing in our life. And you know what? Chris was one of those guys. And the number of opportunities that Chris had to be able to promote Christ, to be able to share with others how God had used his life in different ways and in different respects, it was powerful. A lot of people would look at him and say, what could he do? You know what? That man has done a lot to promote his Savior. And so, folks, here's the reality of the matter. God can use you just as you are, with your limitations, with whatever else you might think is a reason to not serve God. Listen, God can use you just as you are. Now, notice the fourth and final answer. In verse 14, it says, "The anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people. And he shall be to thee instead of a mouth. And thou shalt be to him instead of God." So here's what God was telling him. He says, "Look, Moses, I will give you help as you serve me. Now, wait a minute. God had already promised to be with him. Right? And that's really the only answer that Moses needed. But God also understood Moses' frame. He understood that he's but dust. And so listen, Moses, I'm not intending to make you do this all on your own. So I'm going to let Aaron, your brother, be the spokesman to the people of Israel. I will share to you what the people need to hear, and then you'll share that to Aaron, and then Aaron will relate that to the people. But Moses, understand something. This is not just a one-man job. I'm going to give you aid. I'm going to give you help. You know what? That is the beauty of the New Testament church. Amen. The wonderful aspect of the New Testament church is that we are a whole bunch of messed up people that by the grace of God have been saved and forever changed. We have all been made into vessels, instruments, and tools, if you will, for the Lord's Word that come together with unique backgrounds, unique personalities, different spiritual giftedness, different talents, different abilities, and God coordinates all of that so that we can come together and function together for one common goal, the cause of Christ and the glory of God.
Amen.
God does not expect you to be an island unto yourself. God does not expect you to have to shoulder all the weight of serving Him alone. Are there things that will be your particular responsibilities? Absolutely. But don't ever think as a Christian that you're the only one that is to serve the Lord. We help, we engage, we come alongside, we support, we lift up, we carry on. Fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, as we all seek to utilize our commonality in Christ to serve God. So you know what happens here after God gives him this final answer? Moses got it. And he stopped making excuses and he started serving the Lord. Did everything go perfectly? No. Were there mistakes made along the way? Yes. But you know what? Moses did the work of the Lord. Maybe you've been making excuses. Well, I'm old. You know? Well, Moses was 80 years old here when he started leading the nation of Israel out of Egypt, right? Well, okay. And you say, well, wait a minute, Brother Scott, you didn't hit on the excuse that I've been using. Well, I'll give you a little challenge, all right? Go to the Word of God, study it fairly, keep it within proper context, and see if God will not answer your excuse. Can I save you a little bit of time? He will answer every excuse. Because it is God's will for every single believer, no matter how briefly you've been saved or how long you've been saved, to serve the Lord.
Amen.
No matter how much talent and ability and gift you have or how much lack you have thereof, God wants you to serve Him. It doesn't matter how long you've been a member of this church, God wants you to serve Him. It crosses all these borders of all these different dimensions that I've already shared. So here's the challenge, folks. Are you serving the Lord or are you making excuses for why you can't? And really, it's not that you can't, but why you won't serve the Lord. Let's make that clear. It's not a matter of not being able to. It's just that I don't want to, so I will not. Well, guess what? Tonight is a wonderful night, a wonderful opportunity for you to slam the door on those excuses and commit yourself anew to serving the Lord. Would you please bow your heads with me tonight? We're going to have just a brief invitation in a moment. I don't know how God spoke to your heart. But maybe you would have to acknowledge, no, Scott, I have been making excuses. Well, you've heard the message. I don't need to re-preach it. So what are you going to do? You know, God's word is about bringing us to a crossroads. What are we going to do with what God's word has taught us? Are we going to learn from it and grow from it? Are we going to make particular decisions in regards to it? Or are we going to ignore it? Are we going to sweep it under the carpet and move on with our life? So some of you are at a crossroads right now in your life. And you've got to make a choice. Am I going to live for God? Am I going to demonstrate my love for God? If so, am I willing to stop making the excuses and commit to serving the Lord in my home, at my job, in my community, in this church, wherever God puts me, and where whatever opportunities that arise that I can see as chances to serve the Lord, will I commit to serving Him? Would you take some time in just a moment? We're just going to have the instruments play tonight. In fact, we're not even going to stand. I just want you to sit there and consider. And if God's speaking to you and He's convicted you in some manner in regards to something about this message tonight, deal with the Lord while your heart is tender. Make the commitments, the decisions, and the changes, and then make the commitment to how you're going to begin to live out the decisions that you make tonight. Would you do that? Father, tonight, thank You that You are such a gracious, patient, long-suffering God. You were so with Moses as He gave you excuse after excuse. And finally, He got the point and He got busy doing Your work. And Lord, what a great thing it is to read about. What a privilege and an honor it is for us as Your children to have the opportunity to serve You in so many different ways, in so many different areas of our living. God, tonight, maybe there are some that they've been making excuses for quite some time. And they've not been serving You for a very long time. God, maybe there's been some here tonight and they have been getting discouraged. They're serving, but they're really getting discouraged about serving You. And they've been thinking about just calling it quits and just kind of sitting, beginning to just go off and sit on the sidelines of life and just pass it on. And Lord, maybe they've been finding themselves starting to think up with some different excuses, just like Moses, as to why it shouldn't be them. Well, God, tonight I pray that You would do a work, that You would change attitudes, change hearts in regards to this, Lord. We need to all be committed to serving You and doing Your work. God, have Your will and Your way in this time of invitation, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. With your heads bowed, eyes closed, as the song is played tonight, would you just simply sit there? If God's dealing with you, you need to deal with Him. If you would like to pray with someone or get some counsel, we do have some of the pastoral staff back at the doors. You can get up from where you are, walk to the back. They would be more than happy to take the time and opportunity to sit down with you, go over some scriptures, pray with you, be of help in any way that they can.